بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد سورة لهب When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received the revelation and then he was then called or told to call the people to Islam and so he had a major gathering and as you'll see like we said about the profile of the character that we made He would know, and his name was, we said, Abu Kalb, right? Abd al-Shams. He would know very well the style of the Arabs when someone would attack them. For example, they would have, if somebody wanted to raid a village, they would go on the outskirts, wait until nightfall, wait until, you know, around Fajr time where people are most asleep, and then they would attack them when they were, or had the most sleep. And so if anybody saw this, they would climb up on a mountain in their village and they would shout out, Wa sabaha, wa sabaha. When you put the wow in front of a word and then you put a ha at the end, then it's like calling out. So for example, Salman came in late for class, right? And every day he's coming in late, he's coming in late. And then we put a wow in front of his name and an alif, we go, Wa sarmada, right? Wa sarmada. And if you do it like really long, like, Wa sarmada, that means like, you know, woe to you, why do you keep coming late for class? And you can do that for Wa islama, or if you know the story of Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, when the woman was attacked by one of the non-Muslims, and she called out Wa Mu'tasima, and her statement that she called out to him, why aren't you helping? Like the Muslim women, and then he started an army, like they said, the beginning of the army, arrived at the non-Muslims, and the end of the army still hadn't left, because of that one woman calling out in his name. So they would get up on the mountains, and they would say, Wa sabaha, woe to an evil that's going to come to you in the morning. And they would say it in a much more violent way than the way I'm saying it right now, because it's the morning right now. Wa sabaha. So the Prophet ﷺ, he got up on this mountain and he basically said the same thing. He said to the effect of Wa sabaha, but he was calling the people, oh, you know, Bani so-and-so, oh, Bani so-and-so, and he was calling the tribes, calling them specifically. And the people, they heard this and they started saying that this is a Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful one. He's calling us. Let's find out what's happening. So it wasn't just a casual, oh, you know, there's a lecture going on. No, it was a serious thing. He was calling them all out. So they all gathered there. And then he told them, and this makes you understand the story a little better, that he said, after everybody had gathered, and this wasn't just anybody calling out, it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam who was doing it. So he said to them, if I told you there was an army behind this mountain waiting to attack you, would you believe me? And this was their custom. And he was the most truthful amongst them. They say, there's no doubt we would believe you. We've never tried or we've never experienced a lie from you in your whole life. And then he said, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ That indeed I'm warning you of a grievous punishment about to befall. And so that was the message. Now it's the chance. Everybody could have became Muslim and Mecca conquered and Islam would go everywhere. And that was the moment where Abu Lahab said and called out on behalf of the whole group, تَبَّلْ لَكْ He said, may you perish. May you be destroyed. أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا He said, you gathered us only to say this. And Abu Lahab walked away and all the people walked away with Abu Lahab. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, this surah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد
This surah, it has different names. It's known as Surah Lahab, it's known as Surah Masad, and it's known as Surah Tabbat. So Surah Lahab, which is flame, Masad, you'll see that coming inshaAllah. And Tabbat, which means to perish. Abu Jahl's name, obviously Jahl means ignorance. And that wasn't his name, but that was the name, the official name he got after that. His real name was Abdul Uzza. Uzza was their idol. Ibn Abdul Muttalib. His wife was known before as Al-Awra Umm Jamil bint Harb. Al-Awra Umm Jamil bint Harb. Awra means like a cockeyed. Al-Awra Umm Jamil bint Harb. And they both of them, the husband and the wife, they spent their lives harming the Prophet ﷺ in any way that they could. They would follow him, they would curse him, they would physically abuse him ﷺ. And because of that, they became of the most wretched people in all of the history of humanity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this upon them. In ayah number 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. You'll see the first, the word tabbat coming twice. Correct? Tabbat yada, the hands of Abu Lahab wa tab. And he is perished. Okay, let me go through the words, inshallah. Ma aghna. Aghna is benefit him. Maluhu is his wealth. Wa ma kasab, and what he accumulated. It says they're his children, but what he accumulated, kasab is what he accumulated. Ma aghna, that it didn't benefit him. Sayafla, meaning that he'll be thrown into. Naran is the fire. Thata is a description of that fire. Thata lahab. Lahab is the flame. Is the fire of flames. وَمْرَأَتُهُ Imra'a is a woman. وَمْرَأَتُهُ his wife. Hammala is the carrier. Al-Hatab, which literally means wood. We'll explain that inshaAllah. Fi jidiha, in her neck. The jidiha is her neck. Hablun is rope. Min masad of palm fiber. Ayah number 1, like we said, Tabbat comes twice. The first one, a tabbat means destruction. And it says they're perished, but it means to lose everything. So if someone loses everything, they'll say tabbat. Or sorry, it would be said to them, if you want to curse someone, tabban lak. You know, may you perish, may you lose everything, and may you be destroyed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's almost as if the first one is a curse, and the second is a statement of reality. And they're both statements of reality. Tabbat yada. May the hands, or perish the two hands of Abu Lahab. But it's not like anybody else making a dua against someone. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that perish be his hands, watab, and they are perished. A statement of reality. In this perishing, and Abu Lahab was, and you'll see, statements coming up from Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, statements that would come up where they would start saying things like, oh, my wealth and my children will avail me in some way on the Day of Judgment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there's no wealth that will avail him. And then it says there, وَمَا كَسَبْ his children, but that actually, everything he accumulated in life. And so the ulama, as Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said things like honor, he accumulated honor, he accumulated position in life, he accumulated status, he accumulated wealth, he accumulated children. All of that availed him in no way. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he narrates that when this surah was revealed, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people to iman, Abu Lahab said that if what the son of my brother says is true, I'll merely ransom myself on the Day of Judgment. Meaning that when the gatekeepers of hell come to take him away, he'll bribe them. Look, here's, you know, 100 bucks for you, 100 bucks for you. I'm going to paradise. And that's what he would tell the people. That I'll just ransom myself. You know I'm so rich and I've gathered all of this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ. In verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it wasn't only him, that his wife also. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةِ الْحَطَمِ. And this, the carrying of the wood, it actually has different connotations. And of the ulama, they said that she used to spread malicious rumors. she was a backbiting monger. She would spread rumors and inflame the people. She would go around to different homes and she would say, oh, did you know what so-and-so said about you? And then she would go to the other lady and, oh, did you hear what happened? And so she would carry carry the wood to different people, igniting their hatred amongst one another. حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَمِ. This is the statement of Mujahid and Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Another statement of the ulama, they said that she used to carry thorns, you know, the slivers of the thorns, and she would see the path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk down. So she said, this is his house, this is where he's going to be walking in the morning. So she would come with wood and lay it out and put out the thorns in order so that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk down that path, that it would harm him. And he would be physically harmed by this. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَمِ. That was the statement of Dhahhak. In verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. جِيدِهَا, like there is the neck, حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ, is a rope of palm fiber. And it's basically a necklace of fire. Ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates that Al-Awra Umm Jamil had a necklace that was very expensive. And it was a very, there was a lot of worth to that necklace. And so she pawned it and she sold it so that she could use all the wealth from that necklace in order to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she's actually, you know how in a fundraiser someone gives a necklace, you know, to auction it off. She's doing it in the opposite way. She's giving her necklace to harm the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she swore that by Allah al-Azza, I shall spend this in the cause of destroying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that necklace of hers with a necklace of hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla replaced her necklace with a necklace of hellfire. One thing that we learned there is that whether someone gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or gives against the sake of Allah, they will both be replaced. Either with something from Jannah or with something from hellfire. And it's actually a glad tidings for the person who would give their necklace or give their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if Allah is going to punish them for giving it to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla for sure will reward the people who give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I just want to bring your attention to this. You will see the theme of wealth coming up in many, many surahs. In many surahs, the theme of wealth and how people spend their wealth. And you saw in Surah Iqra about the person becoming self-sufficient, leading to his arrogance. Here you see the spending of wealth to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will continue to see this throughout the surahs, and especially the Meccan surahs. And so not only will she be in hellfire, because hellfire by herself, if she's just in hellfire, I mean that's enough of as a punishment, but on top of that punishment, in hellfire, she'll have a necklace of fire that will increase her in her humiliation, in this dunya and in the hereafter. Have you ever seen Muslim school children when they recite the surahs? You ever heard the recitation? Right? You have heard it. It goes to the effect of Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. If you're ever walking down, you know, the classroom, you'll hear them reciting. And they can't, if you hear the childish, the recitation of the children, it has its own mocking effect to it. So what the children did, in fact, in Mecca, is when this surah was revealed, they would sing this, or they would recite it to Abu Lahab and his wife. Alright, so like holding hands and saying, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab, sayasla naran dhata lahab. And they would recite this. And so, the wife of Abu Lahab became very angry. Very angry, and she said, you know, how can he say this about us? And she took a huge rock, and she went to slam the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that rock. And so she found Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting together, And so she came with that rock, and she wanted to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sitting right beside Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and she said, "Where is Muhammad?" And she couldn't see him. And then she said that, you know, if I see him, I'm going to harm him. And then she said, "Mudamman asayna wa amrahu abayna wa dinahu qalayna," which means that Mudamman, they wouldn't call him Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they would call him Mudamman, means like the belittled one. It's the opposite of the praised one. And his affair we've rejected, and his deen we hate. So she said this, and then she left. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were shocked that she hadn't seen him sitting beside Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in those moments. And then sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Don't you see how Allah azza wa jal is allowing these curses to sidetrack?" Like, he goes, "My name isn't Mudammam. They're cursing someone named Mudammam, and my name isn't Mudammam. My name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would even protect him there, that they wouldn't say his name, but they would say this name, Mudamman. Now, ulama mentioned a very interesting proof here of the authenticity of the Qur'an. Because once this surah was revealed, and this was revealed, like you see, this is the second surah we're taking, it's one of the first surahs revealed in the Qur'an. Abu Lahab had that whole time to show the people that the Qur'an was lying if he became Muslim. It was now in his hands to prove the Qur'an wrong. Because if he became Muslim, even if he was faking it, and he just went outside and said, "Look, I'm Muslim and the Qur'an says that I'm in hellfire. How can this be?" He had it in his hands to do this. But he would never admit that till the day he died. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that this person would be in hellfire. There's no way that guidance could ever come to him after that. Okay, the two names was Lahab and Masad and Tabba. Lahab means flames. Masad is that palm fiber thing at the end of the surah. And Tabba means to perish. Okay, the point about her saying with them, and when she made that statement, she would say, for example, that we disobey Mudammam and his affair, we object to it, or we reject it, and we hate his deen, his religion. She was using the word Mudammam, and the Prophet ﷺ said that, "Don't you see how Allah is averting their curses from me?" So they wouldn't say, we disobey Muhammad, they say, we disobey Mudammam. And so the fact that they used a different name, he says, "My name isn't Mudammam." So they're talking about someone else. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.